Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Q4 FY 2023 earnings conference call of RHI Magnesita India Limited, hosted by HSBC. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. From the management team, we have with us today Mr. Parmod Sagar, MD and CEO, and Ms. Vijaya Gupta, CFO. We will start the call with brief opening remarks and then open the call for Q&A. I will now hand over the call to Mr. Parmod Sagar for opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you very much. Good evening and welcome to RHI Magnesita India's quarterly update call. Dear investors, I can understand the, you know, the sentiments from morning till now, so I can assure you that everything is in line and we are going through a presentation. Vijaya will take you through the presentation, and after presentation, if you still have any doubt about the performance, about the, you know, basic fundamentals of the company, I will be more than happy to answer your questions. So Vijaya, can you please let us go through this presentation?
Thank you. In fact, the presentation has been mailed. So what I just want to first mention about the note number 8 on the impairment loss on account of goodwill, because a lot of news has come on that. So here we can say that in accordance with accounting practice, the purchase price consideration was paid at 632 rupees, but on the date of transaction or the acquisition date, the market price was 877.2. So this difference of 245 rupees per share, as per accounting standards, we had to create accounting goodwill, and which we impaired on 31st March. So this is one-off non-cash transaction, one-time accounting adjustment, which has been adjusted in our earnings. So we should consider all the numbers before this one-time adjustment. Plus, there has been also one-time expense of $640 million, which we had said, you know, we will incur as we are integrating the two companies, of which, you know, 30 crore was, is provision for stamp duty we have made, which we will need for transfer of assets from DBRL to DOCL and from erstwhile Hi-Tech in the name of RHIM. So, and this one-timers are 2.3% of revenue, and for the quarter it is 7%. So these are the two big adjustments which we need to do, wherein we have adjusted to arrive at adjusted EBITDA numbers. So if we see the financials, then at the adjusted EBITDA levels, we are quite comfortable. The adjusted number for the full year is 4,388 or 16.1%, and in this adjusted numbers, we have DOCL revenue from fifth January till 31st March. The numbers, revenue numbers are 2,378 million, and the adjusted EBITDA here is 239 million or 10.1%. And in case of Hi-Tech, which we now call Jamshedpur, because it is now integrated with RHIM, there the revenue number is 321 million, and adjusted EBITDA number is 55 million at the rate of 17% EBITDA margin. Standalone financials also is the number is 24,562 million, and adjusted EBITDA of 4,069, that is 16.6%. And for quarter four, the revenue number is 6,082 million, and adjusted EBITDA is 877 million, that is 14.4%. You want to add?
No. So I can only say these numbers are in line with my statements in previous weeks and months about consolidation, and it is still a very initial stage. We have just taken over this company, so we will improve and improvise in coming weeks and months.
Okay. So if we look growth from 22 to 23 in terms of volume, there has been a 54% increase from 214,000 tons to 329,000 tons, and standalone also we have grown at 34%, so from 214,000 tons to 287,000 tons. So next is about the, although this year, last year because of exceptional circumstances, as you all know, we got one-time price increases, and this year there has been softening of raw material cost, and which has also softened the selling price. But then here if we see, we have, if we adjust one-time adjustments, then for the year as a whole, we get EBITDA of 16.1% on consolidated basis. Now we complement product footprint in South and West India, and we offer product segments across all segments and industries. So the consolidated revenue number is up 37% at 2,726 crores. Adjusted EBITDA is up by 11.5% over last year at 438 crores. Adjusted EBITDA margin is 16.1%. We have a healthy cash position of 260 crores, and we have declared dividend at the rate of 2.5 rupees per share, subject to approval from shareholders, and earning per share has come down to 14.5 per share. This is because of the shares we had issued for merger. So our capacity has grown from 1,45,000 tons to 5,25,000 tons now with the merger of two entities. And revenue is from 2,000 crore to 2,700 crores. EBITDA margin we have discussed, earning per share. Market capitalization has gone up from 101 billion to 118 billion. So if we look at the revenue numbers, so here again, it's for the sake of repetition, we got good from volume. Our revenue last year was 2,000 crore, and we from volume, higher volume, we got 676 crores. Price increase because of lower prices. It was lower by 167 crores, and one-time price adjustment, which we increases, which we got last year from our customers. If we adjust for that, mainly our revenue has increased because of higher volumes. And in addition, we got 235 crore additional revenue from Dalmia and 32 crore from Jamshedpur. If we look at movement of EBITDA from 393 crores last year, volume with added 233 crore, price reduction was 172 crore, and one-time adjustment which you got last year was 48 crore. So RHIM EBITDA, adjusted EBITDA is 407 crore, and if we add Dalmia, as we can see, we are already in double-digit EBITDA percentage here at 24 crores, and Jamshedpur at 5.5 crore. And the others are intercompany transactions and intermetal. So with this, we come to 438 crore, and one-timers are, as I had mentioned earlier, stamp duty of 30 crore, integration costs of 14 crore, and there was one-off write-offs, which we had mentioned earlier, is 12 crore, plus other one-time expenses of 8 crores. So if we, there have been big acquisitions, so how did we fund that? So if we see that we are in a comfortable debt position as of today, including working capital lines, the total debt is 500 crore. So we had borrowed 1100 crore for acquisitions. We got 225 crore from ECB, from the group, and we needed extra working capital of 178 crore for DOCL. We prepaid 700 crore mainly from, 70 crore we prepaid before March, and 750 crore we prepaid from QIP proceeds, and 238 crore from internal accruals to land up in comfortable cash position, debt position after QIP. Also, we were able to majority pay our debt. Cash flow position, our cash position was 78 crore in the year beginning, and we borrowed 1,324 crore all total for high-tech, DOCL, and external commercial borrowings, and we paid off 1,124 crores. And now we are in a comfortable cash position because of comfortable EBITDA generation and internal accruals. There was a capex of 42 crores here. So on working capital, we are focusing on reducing our working capital cycle, and this is a very strong initiative to generate cash from operations. There's a huge focus on improving inventory and receivables and reducing payable days. So our cash conversion cycle has come down, from 87 days to 76, and our focus and attention will continue to be in this area. Now coming to merger and acquisitions on Dalmia OCL, as you know, the total enterprise value of the transaction was 2,852 crores. Actual, as you know, last we said was 2,200 crores. This difference is purely accounting goodwill arising due to difference in issue price and the market price on the date of transaction when the control got transferred. So this difference of 660 crore we have impaired. And the numbers we had sold 37,000 tons. Revenue was 235 crore, EBITDA 10%, and outstanding debt as of 31st March, 886 crore, which subsequently has come down post QIP. Similarly, in case of high tech, the purchase consideration is 879 crore. This has gone up because of addition of 181 crore of working capital. This PPA adjustment, it was subject to that, so basis business value and working capital, it is now at 879, and the assets acquired was 512 crore. This resulted in goodwill of 367 crore. So total goodwill in the books today is 841 crores for DOCL and 367 crores for high tech. So that's all, to clarify the questions you might have. Some of the questions I've tried to address, and now we can open the floor for Q&A.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Bal Chandra Vasant Shinde from Kotak Life. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good evening.
Hi, good evening.
Yeah, so actually I didn't got the PPT, so if you can share it, it will be useful. So I'll not go to the numbers. It might be there in the PPT. Regarding the volumes front, as you said, that volume growth was there.
Yes.
And
Actually, he sent the PPT for uploading on the website, and I got from Ambarji also the message that it is not visible. So we are checking on that, and we will also share this PPT after this call also with all of you. So what about this volume? Yes, volume growth was there.
Okay. Okay. So in the growth-wise, I understood, but I didn't understood the realization part. Why the realization decline was there? Means why we had to take such steep cut in the sales realization?
From last maybe 2 years, I keep on saying that sustainable EBITDA is 14-15%, and about this integration, we are spending. It is not one time. Maybe in the next quarter also a little bit will come, because the integration is a cost. You have to create teams, you have to travel, you have to bring experts from parent company so that we can bring the synergies. So now we are investing, we are spending the money on integration, and after successful integration, we will have a dividend, we will get the synergies also. So this is which I have to take with a pinch of salt. That is in a way investment to really properly integrate the companies into our system.
Okay. So largely the cost was because of the synergy effects. But as you mentioned in the initial remarks also, that our volume growth was higher, but revenue growth was not up to the mark. So the selling price has declined. Is it in line with the commodity cost or input cost or what?
The thing is, the raw material prices are softening, and we have tremendous pressure from our customer to reduce the prices. I believe we are still doing fantastic job. We are still holding our prices to the maximum level. We are just giving some notional price reductions or discounts. So, but yes, the situation is this: raw material prices are going down, so the selling prices has also been corrected accordingly. But margins, I don't see have a dent proportionately to the prices have come down. So we are in a better position, and we are trying to hold it back. We have concluded five or six contracts, which every year we are renewing, with 1 or 2% discounts and all those things. So I see it is a very stable, sustainable growth in coming months also.
Got it. Got it. And the fourth quarter results-wise, if we adjust that 64 crores, we get margins of around 13%. So from here onwards, for next 1 year, how we see the profitability and on the consolidated basis, if we merge DOCL and Hi-Tech, how we see the growth both in volume and value terms, including realization impact, if anything is there?
We earlier also said the consolidated EBITDA should be in the range of 14-15%. Jamshedpur plant will give us a better realization. It will be 20-22%, and DOCL this year we are targeting, if we could manage to get from single digits to double digit and around land up around 12%, and our RHI Magnesita 15-16%, so it will be 14-15% consolidated basis.
Okay. And post QIP raise and everything, how the next year balance sheet will look? I mean, how will be the borrowings for us, and how overall means what will be the now we have taken impairment of the goodwill, so there will be impact on, I think, on the reserves also, right? So how overall debt level we see?
We are at about 500 crore debt, and I believe 200 crore will also come as a
preference.
Preference. We believe we will be having more than 400 crore EBITDA again. So I think 1 to 2 years of time, we will again be a debt-free company.
And in long-term prospects, as Global CEO also said that our long-term targets are around 600 million euro. So still we maintain that in India and how the export mix will be over the next 1 to 2 years?
Yes, whatever Stefan said, the philosophy, the strategy same as of now. And even from last one day, yesterday, today and tomorrow, we are reviewing our business, 360 degree review. And what we are looking at, what the presentation has happened, we believe the Indian steel market and Indian cement market is still going to grow. Steel at about 6%, cement at about 11-12%. So I don't see why we will not be growing. And we are looking India as a global hub for production as well. So we will be increasing our export from Indian plants, particularly from Jamshedpur and Rajgangpur plants, apart okay. from what we are doing from Bhiwadi and Vizag.
So approximately how one can we assume around 2 times of what steel and cement on an average will grow? Can we assume that in a long-term average growth?
We are assuming we should be growing better than market growth. It is around 8% what we are assuming we will be growing.
Okay. On the consolidation basis, you are saying on the current numbers, which is around after consolidating, on that business, you are saying that much growth will be there, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. I'll come back for further questions.
You're welcome.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sri Watson from Avendus Spark. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Just a couple of slightly more broader long-term questions. You did mention that clients are pushing for 1 to 2% discount.
Sorry to interrupt you. Sir, the audio is very low from your line. I would we request you to please speak.
Is this better?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
So I was checking, you did mention about a 1 to 2% discount pressure from clients. Wanted to understand, how do we operate with our existing customers? Is it a market share by customer or are we solo suppliers? If that's the case, what will be the next or the second player in terms of pricing? Just wanted to understand more philosophically, how should we look at pricing? If there is one more bout of inflation that happens, is there enough capacity and ability to pass price to our customers? I just want to understand how both you and the parent look at it from a pure philosophy of pricing.
You know, first of all, globally, we are leader. In India also, we are leading the refractory industry and we have to behave like a responsible leader. As I said, raw material prices are softening, so all our customers are also have accessibility to the pricing pattern and all. So they are coming back to us, but to be very precise, almost 50% RHI Magnesita's standalone business is through management contracts. And we are sole supplier, 100% supplier. But the relationship is so strong over the years. When we went back to them for price increases a year back or so they supported us. So now when they are asking, okay, return back those price increases, though we are holding it back because we wanted to maintain our margins, but still, we have to be very pragmatic, we have to be practical, and we have to be very responsive also to their demands. So it is a, as I said, 1-2% discounts. It will not actually, in terms of, profitability, it will not have a bigger dent on our profitability. The raw material price synergies or savings will be better than what we are giving the discount to the customer.
Sure, sir. The second question was on cement. You did allude that utilizations are on the lower side. Just wanted to get a sense, this would be more new logo addition you look to ramp up demand, or what would the strategy be, given cement is not as frequent replacement as steel? Just wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Well, cement, yes, the cement is two part. One is project business, the other is maintenance business. So the situation is temporarily gone a little, you know, slow. Why? A year back, the delivery time from all the factory companies was 24-30 weeks, and now all the companies are delivery time 6-8 weeks. So the cement industry, our customers are having inventory, so they are holding it back. They are thinking further raw material will be softer and we can get a better price. So it is a temporary thing of 2-3 months. They will dilute their inventory level, and again, it will be open market for everything. And normally, in India, this monsoon time, July, August, September, is for cement industry is a little low volume business. And October, November, December is again going back to the better than normal level. So it is normally, it's a normally cyclic thing. And price-wise, I would say the numbers for this quarter, even the volumes are low, but the profit margin is better than last quarter of last year.
Sure. One last question. Apologies if you had answered this. In this quarter's number, how many weeks or months of both Dalmia and Hi-Tech were included?
We took the control of Dalmia on 5th of January. So it is 25 days of January and then February, March. And from Hi-Tech, it was the 1st of February. So 2 months of Hi-Tech.
Sure. Thanks. I'll come back to that.
Welcome.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Parag Chauhan from UTI Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, trying to understand on the gross margin. So, I mean, as you are saying, the raw material is going up. There is some pressure on the realizations as well from our customers. But when I look at historically, so say before last two quarters from FY 2019 onwards, our gross margin average is about 39.5-40% in that range. Whereas for last two quarters, our gross margin is 34-34.5% in that range. So what exactly, why exactly the gross margin reduction has happened? And going ahead, how do you see the trajectory for the gross margins to pan out? This is on standalone I am looking at it, not this or the other two entities which we have acquired and all that. Just standalone numbers when I look at, this is how.
You know, as in the beginning, Vijay was saying that there was some price increases happened before these two quarters when we were having a better gross margins. And these are spill over to third quarter as well, because we asking for retroactive price increases and, you know, order amendments, approvals, and all those things. And all of a sudden, in one quarter, we got the realization, the old, you know, adjustments of price increases. So it gives us 19%, I think, if I'm remembering correctly.
19.7%.
EBITDA. So this was aberration. I on record said many times that it is aberration. This is not sustainable. So sustainable was 14-15%. We were hovering around 16% also. But when you have a bigger volumes, you grow. Smaller company, when it was Orient Refractories standalone, the percentage-wise, we were at 18%. When your base is bigger, the percentage come down a little bit, because you have a broader portfolio where you are not only having ISO products or flow control products, which attract better margins. Now you have a mixes, brakes, everything. So when you have a overall portfolio, it, you know, it gives you absolute value, better margins, profitability. But if you talk about percentage-wise, it come down a little bit. So we should also look at absolute numbers.
Okay, but then the current gross margins, you are saying, is this the normal or is there some pricing pressure involved here? So from here, gross margins can recover some bit, because these are like the
No,
all-time lows.
I would say coming months or coming quarter,
What we are projecting is 14% to 15% on consolidated basis. We will be able to sustain those margins.
Okay. And then you are saying and then EBITDA margin is what we should be looking at and gross margin is not the right number to look at? I mean, we should be looking at only the EBITDA margin?
Yeah, I think that is more accurate.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you, sir. That's from my side.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Manan Poladia from MKP Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Am I audible?
Adi Madanji.
Okay, sir. So my first question is, what I want to understand is, we've said that our capacity has gone up from 145,000 to 545,000. What I want to understand is, what is the breakup of this new capacity and what segments will we be catering from these capacities?
You know, RHI Magnesita standalone was 145,000 ton and roughly 35,000 ton is coming from high-tech and balance 300,000 is coming from DOCL. So its combined capacity is 525 and we are at a level of this year around 330,000 ton. And it's a mix of things. RHI Magnesita standalone 145 will be 145 utilized almost fully. And high-tech also, we assume that in coming days the production will go up and we will be able to utilize the capacity 80-85%. DOCL, the capacity is 300,000 ton, but we are at about 60% capacity. So I don't think it will go up to 80-85% in next 2 years' time or so. So first we have to consolidate this 160, whatever is the capacity. Sustainable, you know, quality and upgrading. We are looking for a modernization of these plants, bringing new technologies, you know, looking at cost reduction, better margins. This is my first priority, not to increase the capacity.
Correct, sir. Understood. Also, sir, would you want to make any comments on what's happened in RHIM? LN, the parent company, there's been an open offer by Ignite Group. Is there something that would change for the Indian entity after that, since it's quite a large stake?
I'm not supposed to talk on this. It is only Chris Bucknell, our global investment relation manager, or Stefan Borges can talk. But I can only say this is a good development, nothing wrong.
Right, sir. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abhishek Poddar from HDFC Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my question, sir. Regarding the integration cost, I want to understand is if majority of it is there already in the results, and or should we expect more to come in 24-25, and if yes, then what quantum? And so then also, if you can talk about the synergies, you know, what we hope to realize from DOCL and high-tech in next 1 year and next 3 years, and what areas and, you know, what could be the timelines for those?
You know, integration cost, almost major part is covered, but this quarter, running quarter, yes, there will be some still integration cost, but major part is gone. Synergies. We are tracking synergies. We are on track. Well, if we talk about manpower synergies or raw material synergies, we are tracking that and we are on track. The numbers I don't have available with me, but we will be, you know, we will have this regular calls after every quarter. And we will be sharing the numbers when available. But yes, synergies will happen, and it is almost roughly, if I say, 5 to 6 million, or roughly 45 to 50 crores synergies we are only tracking already. But it is rough number. I don't want to give, but still, if you will not get anything, you'll see. I'm just talking.
Understood. So this 45 to 50 crore is a synergy, and beyond this, even in DOCL, we are looking at the margins to go to 10-12% next year and beyond that in the years to come. So that will be additionally.
Yes.
See,
See, already you are seeing, no, Abhishek, the margin has gone up to 10%. So the raw material synergy is coming in, and more so will come in the coming days.
Understood. And on the export part, you made a comment that looking to increase the exports from Jamshedpur and Rajganjpur. If you could give us what was the export percentage in FY23 and what would be the target of exports in next 2-3 years?
FY23, I think our standalone RJ Magnesita was 17% and overall is 12% or so. But we believe that first we need to reach to a level of what RJ Magnesita India was, say 16-17%, and then ultimate target is to take it to 22-25%.
Understood, sir. Thank you. All the best, sir. Thanks.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Balchandra Vasant Shinde from Kotak Life. Please go ahead.
As in capacity wise, as you mentioned, that only 60% will be right now available. Overall, how you see, means like how the capex will be, because now we have almost increased our capacity by almost 5 times. Then by when you'll be able to optimally use all these capacities, and how much capex will need to incur to fully commercialize or fully make it operational for us?
So first is capex. So we have earmarked about 300 crores capex, which we will be using in next 3 to 5 years time. It depends upon, you know, delivery time and all those things, and you need to really work on an integrity design and all those things. But this will be the spend, and by this spend, modernization, productivity improvement, rejection improvement, I believe by this time when we will be spending this money and plants are modernized, we will be at about 80% capacity level.
So 5 years down the line, we will be ready with the capacity of 5,25,000 only at the capex of 300 crores, you meant to say?
Yes, absolutely.
So, and year onwards, will we be targeting any acquisition or now overall addressable market related portfolio is complete and we will look to increase the market share? Because in India also, our market share is also lower as compared to global. So will we be our endeavor to reach to 40%, and by when we expect to target that?
I think you might have heard that we already have a SPA signed with the 7 refractories from Sylvania, Europe. So in India, we have a joint venture with them in Katni plant with 51% shareholding. So now with this SPA, we will be closing probably in July. So that will be 100% subsidiary of ours. So that is one thing which is already in the pipeline. It is decided. But after this, I don't see any major big acquisition or even small. There can be some, you know, adjustments, the type of acquisition to the tune of, say, less than 25 crores, if need be.
Okay. Okay. And, sir, if we exclude FY23, our relatively return ratios, ROEs or ROCs, were in the range of around 25-30%, right? So because of this acquisition and relatively margin slightly at the lower level, our return ratios will be relatively lower for this year. But by when we expect to return to those kind of a return ratios, like what will be our target by when we expect to come back to those kind of a return ratios?
I don't see in short term we will go back to that level, but I think 18-20% ROC should be the reasonable number.
let's say next 1 to 2 years, we are saying 18 to 20% will be achievable. But once we achieve that 80% kind of a capacity, then we can target those kind of a return ratios. Is it fair to assume that way?
Yeah.
Thanks, sir.
You're welcome.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ashish Kejriwal from Nuvama. Please go ahead.
So, hi. Thanks for giving me an opportunity. So, three questions. One, when you are speaking about the capex of 300 crore in the next 3-5 years, is it possible to break down into FY 24 and 25 how much our capex could be, including maintenance capex?
When I'm saying 300 crores, this is only modernization and development capex. Maintenance capex over and above will be about 100 crores every year for all these 9 plants put together.
So, is it safe to assume that FY24 and 25 could be 200 crore each?
We are still working. We are creating a blueprint. What are the first priorities? We have already ordered 3 mixers for Rajgangpur. We have ordered 1 press for Jamshedpur. So it is still work in progress. You need to give us 2-4 months to really have the broader picture is there. Like I said, we need these things. But we have to prioritize, and integration is not that easy. We are, running post to pillar and doing too many things. So, first we need to look into a low-hanging fruit without capex or with very small capex, how we can increase the productivity and increase the margins. This is the first priority. And then, where is the most important need to invest? Historically, we are very conservative in spending capex. So, we will not be spurring your money. It will be used very judiciously. So, maybe next 3-4 months time, we will be able to tell how much we are going to spend next 2 financial years.
Sure. And so, second question is, in terms of your revenue guidance, because you mentioned about 8% volume growth, obviously, that takes into account the consolidity now on a van. So by looking at the current raw material prices and the negotiations which you are having with your customers, is it possible to share some kind of range of revenue guidance for FY24?
It will be to the tune of 4,400 approximately. It can be 4,300 to 4,500 or something like that.
Sure, that is helpful, sir. And sir, lastly, it's a bookkeeping question. Is it possible to share Q4 volumes for different entities?
Q4 shipments, as I said, 287,000 is for RHIM, and we had 41,500 for other entities together.
That's for full year.
Yeah. Quarter. Okay, if you want the quarter. So quarter is 68,000 for RHM, 37,000 for DOCL, and 4,500 for
Jaipur. Okay. Thank you, and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anish Shabalia from Girik Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Hi, good evening. So some of my questions have been answered. So one thing that I would like to understand is the depreciation. Our quarterly run rate has gone up from 10 crores to 40 odd crores. So, that's like a 4-fold increase between the standalone and then, after the consolidation. So if you can just break that up, how this kind of an increase has happened and what can we expect going forward in terms of, the run rate of quarterly in the next year, let's say.
Yeah, see, 32 in this 70 crore depreciation, 33 crore is for the other entities. And as you know, we have done this fair valuation. So this will impact our depreciation at least, say, around 70 crore additional.
Oh, sorry, I'm not able to understand. So you are saying it will be.
Okay. We can connect separately if you want. I can explain it to you.
No, but at least can, do you think like this 40 crore run rate will continue on a quarterly basis? I mean, is that the right way to understand on a net-net basis?
Yeah. This 40.
It won't increase, right? So 40 crores, okay. And this you are saying will continue for some time, but then it will start coming down. Is that it? Correct.
No, it won't come down, no, because it's depreciation on the fair value of assets done. So we have allocated the purchase consideration. So this will be in this range in the coming days.
Okay. So, rest of my questions are answered. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pratim Roy from B&K Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. I have just two clarification questions. One is that you have mentioned that your EBITDA margin for the standalone business is stood at around 10%, right? Is this the correct thing?
Oh, 10%.
Yeah. Can you repeat your question?
This was 10% was for DOCL.
DOCL. Yeah.
No, I am talking about the 4Q adjusted EBITDA. If you don't consider DOCL and Hi-Tech, what is the number? It's 10%.
Oh, yeah, adjusted EBITDA, if you don't consider, is 14.4%.
Okay, 14.4% without considering that Dalmia, OCL and Hi-Tech, right?
Yeah, for Q4.
Okay. And one more thing, ma'am, for the FY23, what is the current debt position that was mentioned? I don't have the presentation also. So if you can mention that the current debt position, gross level or net level?
So the current debt position is 500 crore. So it has the ECB loans to the tune of 300 crore and working capital of 200 crore.
Okay, for next year it will come down.
No, it will be in this range only.
No, it will come down in coming days.
Coming 31st March is 1,500 and as of April is 500 crores.
Okay.
So we have 1,492 crores. From the QIP proceeds, we have paid off the bridge loan. And as of 31st April, we are at the level of 500 crore, in which ECB is 300 crore. These are long-term loans. And the working capital loan is 200 crore. So total debt is at a consolidated level is 500 crore.
Okay.
And this we will maintain.
Okay, this will maintain for the next 1 or 2 years.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Parmod Sagar, MD and CEO, and Ms. Vijaya Gupta, CFO, for closing comments.
So, friends, I think we have clarified the doubts, and I again reassure you, your company is in safe hands, and we will make sure that we keep on growing. The confidence, the faith, the support you have given to us in the past, please continue in future also, so that we, with your support, can deliver the results as we are projecting. Thank you very much for your time. And if anything is left out, if any question, anything is in your mind, kindly reach out to Vijaya or me. We will be more than happy to answer your queries. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And I just want to add that the estimates which we had given in the beginning of the year, we stand by it. If not meet, we should be able to improve upon them. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of RHI Magnesita India Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.